Saturday, April 10th, 28th anniversary of Lyndon's election to Congress. We had breakfast in bed and then drove up to the schoolhouse to see the lay of the land for the TV ceremony, the signing of the bill, Sunday afternoon. Then the Shrivers, Ann Brinkley, Lyndon and I, helicoptered over to Camp Gary, a ghost of World War II, for the dedication of the Job Corps camp in the old auditorium. There are close to 300 boys in residence. Dr. Singletary is head of the whole program. They're taking courses in automobile mechanics, shop work, landscape gardening, and I believe as cooks and bakers. There were about 2 prayers and 8 speeches, but for once, not too many. Dr. Singletary introduced Sarge Shriver. Congressman Pickle introduced Governor Connally, who introduced the president. The old NYA was certainly present on the stage. Jake had worked for it. John had worked for it at 17 cents an hour. And Lyndon had been director of it. It was a great setting to show those boys what opportunity could mean in the lifetime of a man. 3 walking success stories. The congressman, the governor, and the president had hot competition from the 3 young men of the Job Corps who spoke. One from Georgia, one from Louisiana, one from Oklahoma. One of them, a young Negro, spoke without notes in a very straightforward and persuasive manner. Lyndon ended his speech with a dramatic reference to 2 presidents who are looking down on us now and smiling at the day's achievement, President Lincoln and President Kennedy. It was well done, though melodramatic, and I had to blink mighty hard to keep from crying. Once again, I looked at Eunice, wondering what was going through her mind. I would like for them to be glad about it all. Leaving, we glimpsed familiar faces in the crowd. Mrs. Ed Cape, Jesse. It was a good feeling that it was a going concern.
The boys,
scrubbed in their white shirts, were there to learn and come out better. And the staff was there, capable of teaching them. Back in the helicopter, we had that holiday feeling that work is over, let's have fun. Lyndon suggested we fly to the Haywood, have lunch, follow us there. We took Dr. Singletary along with us. President A.W. joined us with a good supply of barbecue. There was a beautiful blue sea of bluebonnets in front of the Haywood house, fringed with some yellow flowers. Mm-hmm. Lyndon can never stay way along from the boat, so we showed the Shrivers, Llano River and the lots. And then Sarge found the water skis. The bathing suit, behind the Secret Service boat, on water skis, doing his usually competent job at it. Texas was never more beautiful. Blue sky, weather in the upper 70s, water tanks full, and across the landscape, a field, a pasture, a sea of bluebonnets, again and again. We helicoptered over to the Davis Ranch and landed like some giant dragonfly in a snowy field of white thistles, or Texas prickly poppies, as they're often called. And then we drove through the lush green valleys and the rugged rock hills. But everywhere, oh glorious sight, there was grass, even on the roughest hills, tufting between the rocks. Making a rancher smile, Lyndon was delighted with the place. No doubt the soil's the best of anything we have or are trying to buy, except the home place. We had the unique experience of getting stuck on grass, pulling up a steep incline, where we stopped a moment and the wheels spun on the thick, lush grass. A.W. informed me, obviously delighted, that we had decided to name the place the Long Branch. It happened that was the name of the creek running through it, but he was referring to me liking gun smoke. About 3 o'clock, we told the Shrivers goodbye. What a world in which they will be back to Washington in time for dinner. We had enjoyed them. She always had a book at her elbow, and her questions were always intelligent and piercing. Sometimes she seems a little caustic. And he would be a success in any field. We went back to the Haywood and a long boat ride, Mr. Kellum and Marianne joining us. We lay on top of the deck of the boat, and Lyndon said, "If you want to know what my idea of heaven is, this is it." I talked about retiring. He wanted to have a class, maybe 2, at the University of Texas. And then maybe one at San Marcos. He asked if Jesse could get him fixed up. He teased him about how he'd failed to get him the presidency of San Marcos. That was before the assassination. In fact, Lyndon was working seriously toward becoming its president before November 23rd. President Flowers was about to retire. What a turn in the wheel of fortune. For the first time, I'm beginning to feel that he could retire happily. The ranching, teaching, watching the building of a library. Vistas open up. Perhaps there would be a book or two, and visitors would be the path to our door, and trips, and a little banking and TV on the side. Well, a boat is a good place to dream. Marianne is soft and cheerful and pretty. I believe those are the chief qualities Lyndon wants in a woman. And how good always to have Jesse with us. A little bit he's surfacing from the drowning grief he felt when Louise died. When dark overtook us, we flew back to the ranch to join Mr. and Mrs. Loney. She was Lyndon's schoolteacher when he was 4 years old, up the road a mile. He brought her to the inauguration of 61. She was there everywhere at the inauguration of 65. And here she is, back at the site of her school teaching, some 53 years ago, to watch the signing of the education bill tomorrow afternoon at the little schoolhouse. Gray-haired, dignified, having made no flashing success in life, but seeming so good and solid somehow. The very idea of the teacher for a one-room school. Admiral Rayburn was with them. He's going to be the new CIA director. We had catfish for dinner, and then a trip down to see Cousin Oreo for everybody but me. And I luxuriated in gun smoke.